I wanted you to participate, and so I asked Brother Jim to distribute some little slips of paper with some scripture references on them. And if you did not get one and you'd like to read one of the references, I have a few more here that he didn't find takers for. So if somebody would like to read a passage, we've got them. Anybody want to do it? Okay. Now, these are just some. Anybody want to volunteer? Okay. These are just some of a very few of the more than 800 references in the Bible to music. So the reason that we are reading these few is because they are significant verses on the subject of music. A lot of people do not realize that it's possible that there's enough in Scripture on the subject of music, it's possible to have a biblical philosophy of music. There are many people who don't even think about having a biblical philosophy of music. Never enters their mind that there could be such a thing. Music is something you just do. But we have talked last week, and I read a little bit from the book The Marxist Minstrels, the use of communist use of music to subvert culture. And I read several other things for you last week. I've got some things I want to share today. Because music is a subject that is basically ignored except to listen to it or to perform it. For the believer, we need to have God's perspective of music. And so that's why I felt it would be good to share this. And not only that, these are some of the things that I'll be sharing when I go to the Ukraine in less than a month now. 2 weeks from this coming Thursday, I'll be catching a flight to all the way to Kiev and then driving from Kiev to wherever it is I'm going to teach. I don't even know the name of the town that I'm going to be teaching in. But Brother Neil says that I'll have 70 to 90 students in the class. I've talked to several people who are there, who are in the context of that setting, who say that what we have in the United States is being brought to them, we need to be helping them understand that they need to have a biblical philosophy of music. And so that's why we're doing this. Last week, we shared with you some basic thoughts concerning music, and I come to think about it, I can't remember if I read from the Marxist Minstrels or not, but I did read from you from Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle, philosophers of antiquity who many, many years ago saw and understood the power of music and shared the danger of the wrong kind of music and its potential for changing culture. And so we're going to share some more things with you today. Before we do that, we need to pray, and then we need to review our three verses, those who are memorizing 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. So let's bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have to meet together in Sunday school. We thank you for each person here, each home represented. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the peace in our hearts because of your presence there. We pray, Lord, that you'll work in our hearts and keep them tuned to sing your praise. And guide as I share with the class this morning some things that are from your word and based on your word that may be helpful to us as we make choices concerning music. Help us to realize we must not be haphazard in any of our choices, that everything that we do is to be done for your glory. And so guide us, help us, Lord, to understand the truths that you'd have us to understand, and guide us with your eye. Your vision is so much better than ours. Thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's try 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, those who are memorizing, all right? And I'm going to see if I can do it. I'm not going to look or anything. Here we go. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Oh, today's the third one. I haven't started on the fourth one. I know these verses. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Oh, yeah. Love. And the word charity, of course, is the word for love. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage to memorize, and also a passage that's good to dissect and apply to our own lives. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're memorizing that entire chapter, and this is the third week, and so we've got 10 weeks to go. 13 verses there. One of the things that helps me with that verse, with those first three verses, is it starts out with, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. That's talking about our communication. And then it says, if I don't have charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So that reverses the speaking with tongues of men and angels, if I don't have. And then you go to the next one, and that verse says, I am nothing, and it starts out, and though I have the gift of prophecy, I'm a preacher or teacher, I've got lots of knowledge and I can talk about, and understand all mysteries, I'm really wise, and all knowledge, I'm educated, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I'm sanctimonious, you know, pious, and have not charity. Then it says, I am nothing. And those are things that have to do with being able to stick our thumbs under our lapels and kind of brag on ourselves, which we should never do. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then the third verse says, it profiteth me nothing, and it has to do with material things. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and then though I give my body to be burned, it's a matter of giving, and I'm just going to give, give, give. And some people kind of pride themselves in their benevolence, you know. And what did Jesus say about giving alms? He said, don't do it before men. So, I mean, I even feel sort of funny sometimes putting my envelope in the offering plate where people can see it. I know of churches that don't even take an offering. They have a box, and then people can just put money in the box. There's a church where our son goes in the St. Louis area, and that's what they do. And they've never suffered financially as a church, and they don't pass an offering plate. One thing about our church, have you noticed? How often in a week do we take an offering? Just once, Sunday morning. That's it. And when Derek started doing that, I thought, how are we going to make it? You'll be finding out at the business meeting. God is blessing, folks. It's his work, and he's blessing. And so we have lots to thank him for. Okay, just wanted to do that. Now, philosophy of music. Let's think a little bit. I want to, first of all, stress that the Scripture just has very much to say on the subject of music. It's throughout the Bible. There are over 800 references to music, over 200 commands to sing. And it doesn't take much effort to study and understand God's intention for music, and also to get some idea of the kind of music that God would have us to incorporate into our lives individually, into our families, and into our churches. And so we're going to read just so that everybody gets a clear understanding of the various verses in the Bible, and notice, well, you don't have the list before you, but we have verses from 7, 8, or 9 different books in the Bible, several from the book of Psalms. And so if I call your reference, you be prepared to read. And some of you may have two of these little slips, and if you do, that's fine. And I have some here that we didn't get distributed, and that's fine. I'm going to look through and make sure there's not one that I really would like to have read. There's one I think I'd really like to have read, so I'll have that one ready. Okay, let's start with a couple out of New Testament that are very, very familiar, and probably some of you have memorized these. Colossians 3:16, who has that? Read that nice and loud for us, Brother Dean. With grace in your heart to the Lord. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Okay, I'm not going to comment much on these. I just want you to hear them. Who has Ephesians 5, 18 and 19? Did I give that one to somebody? Maybe that's one I didn't. Oh, no, I've got it here. Yeah, that's one I'd really like for us to read. So let me grab it right quick. Ephesians 5, and it's verses 18 and 19. And I think I could quote them, but I'm going to read them. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. By the way, what's the best way to never be drunk with wine? What? Yeah, don't take a sip of it. If you never take a sip of wine, or whiskey, or beer, you will never be drunk with it. You might be drunk with something else, I don't know, but be not drunk with wine. We could apply that to many things. But verse 19 says, be filled with the Spirit, verse 18, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay? Now then, let's see who has Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. Anybody have that one? That may be one I didn't. Oh, I still got it. Okay, we'll skip that one. 2 Samuel 22:50. Anybody have that one? Well, okay. Isaiah 14:7. Nope. Okay. 49:13. Isaiah 49:13. No, that's not out. Psalm 119:54. Okay. Okay, read that one again. Listen to it. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay. Let's see if anybody has Exodus 15, 1 and 2. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? He said he's my strength and he has become my song. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And that was Moses, of course, singing. Okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles 29:27 and 30. Did I give that one out? Oh, okay. Okay, well, let me just grab that one and read it. 2 Chronicles 29:27 and 30. Verse 27 says, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. Verse 30 says, Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Those are two wonderful verses from the Old Testament. Okay? And then how about Psalm chapter 9, verses 2 and 11? Okay? All right. And there's one of the commands to sing. There's a statement, I will sing, and then there's a command, sing. Okay? And then Psalm 33, 3. Okay, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. And we're going to talk about new song, too. There's a new song principle involved in music. Let's listen to Psalm 96, 1. Okay, sing unto the Lord a new song. Those two verses there had the phrase new song. Okay, now then, Psalm 96, verse 1. Who has that one? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, did I skip? I must have skipped one and thought I... Did I say Psalm 33, 3? That was... You read that? Okay, all right. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Okay. And there's the phrase, new song, again, all right? And then let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Okay. Okay, and there's a reference of the singing of praise in the midst of the church, in the midst of the body, local body of believers. Okay, Psalm 104, 33. Okay, Fred? All right. I'll sing praise to the Lord as long as I live. Psalm 89, 1. Okay, Don? Amen. Some of us could sing that, can't we? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Good one. All right. And let's go to Isaiah 24, 14. Okay. Okay, they shall lift up their voice. And the word voice now, that's the first time we've heard that word in what we've read. And what do I say about the musical instrument? What's the most important musical instrument on the face of the earth? It's a human voice. Absolutely. That's the one we'll use in heaven. And So it's interesting. And by the way, in some places, if you can, and I've done some study and research on this, you can have so much accompaniment that you cannot hear the human voice. And sometimes Elaine does a wonderful job at the piano, and so I so appreciate it, by the way. And I get to hear her practice at home. She doesn't come in and just sit down and play, by the way, folks. I mean, she spends time at the piano and practices, I think, daily. It's rare that a day goes by that she doesn't spend at least 30 minutes on the piano bench. But as much as I enjoy her, there is something about a cappella music, music with just the human voice, that is wonderful. And you know, you cannot cause deafness with human voice, unless, of course, you amplify it. Yeah. Okay? That I didn't mean to make that much comment. But let's go now to Job 35:10. Did I give that one out? Okay.
But no one says, "Where is God, my maker? Who gives songs in the night?"
Where is God, my maker? Does it have a question mark? Who gives songs in the night? Okay. I had forgotten whether that ends with a question mark or if that's more a statement. God, my maker, who gives songs in the night. There is a radio broadcast entitled Songs in the Night. How many of you have ever listened to that? Look at the hands. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it comes out of the Moody Network. And the title for that program comes from that particular verse. Isaiah 44:23. Did I give that one out? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Mountains and so on. All of creation. God says all of creation is to sing His praises. Let's go to 2 Kings 3:15. Okay. And of course, that's from... I guess I'd have to go. I didn't look at the context of that. Let me look at that just real quickly. 2 Kings 3:15. Okay, this has to do with Elisha and his reproval of the alliance between Jehoshaphat and Jehoram. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Now bring me a minstrel." And so he is talking about the need for some music, and that would be good to study that context and to get more of the context of that verse, but it's a reference to a minstrel or singers, groups of singers, and their presence and their effect. Okay, let's go to Job 38:7. Did I give that one out? Okay, and that's an interesting study too. We could put that in context. Let's go on. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16, verses 9 and 23. Is it? Okay, well, my list said second. I guess there's a typo. Sing and proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Psalm 7:17. That one I didn't give out. Okay, we'll skip that one. Romans 15, 9, Psalm 40, verse 3. Okay, Psalm 40, verse 3. Let's go there. I want us to hear this one. I didn't give it out. We didn't give it out either. Psalm 43 reads this way. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And there's that phrase, new song, again. We're going to come back to these verses later, but I wanted to include that. Okay, that may be all that we have out. Let's see. Yeah. Somebody have Psalm 149:1? Okay. Okay, and there's the phrase, new song again. So, yes, ma'am? Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's true. And the new song, when we stop and think about it, and we're going to discuss that a little bit, there is a what we call the new song principle for the believer. And it is not a new song in that it is a newly written song, but it is a song that is new to the believer in Christ. And I believe that the new song to the believer in Christ is possible because he now has the Spirit of God dwelling within him. And he doesn't just have his old Adamic nature, but he also has the new nature, which can respond to God and sing the new song that only the new nature is capable of singing. It's called the new song principle. We'll discuss that. But these are some things that I shared it thinking that possibly this would spark interest to do further study on your own and also keep interest up in what we're doing here. I'm going to probably stick with the subject of music for the next couple of Sundays just so that I stay on that track as I'm getting ready to go to the Ukraine. Now, I want to read one more verse to you. This is Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. And if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 12, 2, and join me in looking at this verse, because this will be a springboard for some comments that I'd like to make on the subject of music. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Did I give that? I don't think we gave that out. Let me look. No. There's another verse that is similar to it, but not identical exactly, that mentions God being our song. But this is another place where it mentions that. Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. He is my strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's a concept we understand. The Lord is my salvation. He is the believer's strength. He is the believer's salvation. These two concepts we talk about and we understand. And we have no problem with them. These are truths that are taught from the Word of God. They are taught from pulpits and preached again and again. If you try to do things in your own strength, you're going to fail. You've got to have the Lord for your strength. You can't save yourself. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of ourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. And we hear those things preached a lot. And they are understood and accepted. But when it comes to the area of music, this verse, along with two others, and one of those we did read, Exodus 15:2, and I'm not sure about Psalm 118, verse 14, but both of these verses suggest something quite in addition to God being our strength and our salvation. There are three verses in the Bible that tell us that God plays another role in our lives. He is the Christian's song. He's our strength. He is our salvation, and He is our song. Literally, God is to be the music of the Christian. He is to be our music. That seems strange, doesn't it? We can easily think about God being our strength. I couldn't have done it. You hear people say, oh, I never could have gotten through that without the Lord. I don't see how people handle that without the Lord. You need the Lord for your strength. But the Lord is to be our song. That's interesting to me. God is to be the music of the Christian. And I ask myself, Jerry, is God your song? It's kind of challenging for me to think of Him as my song. Not just the theme of my song, but my song. Can you think that? Huh? I have a little struggle thinking of God being my song. But that's what the Word of God says. He is my song. And so I asked myself the question, is the Lord my song as I go through the week, as well as on Sunday? I come to church and I sing, and my heart is filled with the Lord, and I'm singing to the Lord, I'm singing about the Lord, and in a sense, in some way, God Himself is my song. And then I go home after church, I sleep Sunday night, and I wake up Monday morning and start a new week. Is God my song on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? He is to be our song, our music. The Lord indeed is to be our song. Now, when we think about that, the Lord is to be the theme of our song. He is to be our song. And somebody would say, well, now, Jerry, are you saying that as a Christian, if the Lord is my song, am I not supposed to ever listen to secular music? The answer to that question is, no, I'm not saying that. The word secular, by the way, has a connotation of absolute godlessness. And when I use the word secular, I'm not thinking of godlessness as such, but there is music that is written that is wholesome and good and fine, but it's not on the theme of God, and it is not God, and therefore we can't classify it as sacred as such. But if it is music that follows the principles of Scripture, and it is music that is not fashioned after the world, and it is music that is not sensual in style, but has a beautiful melodic line and so on, then as the believer listens to it with his new nature and is encouraged through the beauty of that music then, it's not exactly secular. I would not say it's sacred particularly, but in a sense it becomes sacred. Now, somebody might say, well, where are you going with this? Anybody have that thought? I mean, the Word of God says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, I have a little glass in our kitchen, and we have a reverse osmosis system, and there's a little water spigot there. And when I go to get a drink, I put that glass under that spigot and turn it on, fill the glass up, and I turn that water up and I drink it. Is that water sacred? No. Because that water is not sacred, should I say, I'm not going to drink any more water because it's not sacred? No. That's the idea. A believer can do many things that may not be classified sacred, but in his life, as he does them to the glory of God, there becomes a sacredness about them, in a sense, that is, I think, easy to understand. When I was a school principal, I used to talk to the students. I'd say, whatever you can do for the glory of God, and if you cannot do it for God's glory, it ought not to be done. And I used to say, comb your hair to the glory of God, brush your teeth to the glory of God, take a shower to the glory of God. I said to the guys, when you grow up and get married, kiss your wife to the glory of God, and on and on and on. It can be that even those things that may not be classified sacred in and of themselves, if they are enjoyed and done to the glory of God and they do not violate principles of Scripture, there is, in a sense, a sacredness about them. So what I'm not saying that we should not listen to anything but sacred music. Certainly there are works by great musicians that are perfectly fine, and I would highly recommend them. We have classical music that we keep on CDs in our car, and we listen to Bach and Beethoven and sometimes a little bit of Mozart and things like that. And some of the music from even some of the musicals of the 40s and 50s here in the United States have beautiful melodic lines, and in and of themselves, they are not wrong. But there is music, and we'll discuss that, that we cannot classify as right, and we're going to deal with that over these next 2 weeks and try to help everybody understand that music is not amoral. You know what I mean by not amoral? Okay, Brother Dean, go ahead. Okay. Where are you?
In that passage, Isaiah 12:2.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Okay. Good thinking. I didn't stop to think about that. And, of course, Brother Dean, having taught for so many years at Carver Bible Institute and knowing the language, would catch that. And I didn't even look up the original language words for God there and Lord Jehovah. But Lord is usually Jehovah, so it probably is saying Jehovah, Jehovah is my strength and my song, and that makes very good sense. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. God is out there. He is my salvation. I'll him and not be afraid. And then the Lord Jehovah inside is my strength and my song. Wow, that's good thinking. And so God wants to be our song, and that's not exactly an easy thing to understand. But I think as we, as believers, go along, we say, Lord, I don't want you just to be out there, that I trust you as the God that you are, but I also want to acknowledge your presence within me and let you be my inner strength and my song. Interesting. Any other comments, Brother Dean? That's good. Thank you for sharing that. By the way, back to the subject for as we were talking about secular and sacred music, there is music that is, and we're going to discuss this, that I believe there's music that a Christian should attempt to avoid, try to avoid. Now, there's that we cannot avoid all kinds of music. I mean, you go into a restaurant, and nothing is quite so annoying to me as to go in to try to have a decent meal and they've got blaring rock music going. And here I'm trying to have good digestion and enjoy a meal and the table's vibrating, you know. And I say that simply to say that as a Christian, we cannot avoid it. Have you ever asked a waitress or a waiter, is it possible to turn the music down a little bit? Have you ever done that? How many have ever done that? Okay, nothing wrong with that. I've done it. So loud you can't hear yourself think. And so, but to say that we should not, or as believers, listen to secular music, we wouldn't say that. But here is something that we should do. We should put all music in our lives to a test. I wish I had thought to bring an article by Richard Halvorson. It's entitled, The Danger of Tolerance. The Danger of Tolerance. And, you know, we're in a society that's, and the secular people of our society and the liberal people of our society teach us to be tolerant. They try to say we should be tolerant of all this, anything, whatever you want to do, do it. But isn't it interesting that those very people who are shouting tolerance, what do they also shout? Go ahead, somebody. Down with the Christians. They are very intolerant of the Bible. Very intolerant of people who really believe that Jesus Christ is our hope for salvation and He is the only way to God. They don't want to be tolerant of that, but they want us to be tolerant. And Halvorson wrote, and there's a sense in which to be tolerant is dangerous in some ways. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at verses 21 and 22. And I'm going to stop here in just a moment. But the main thing I wanted to do was have us read those verses so that everybody in the class got a chance to hear at least some, a very few of the verses in God's Word that have to do with music. And by the way, we've just slightly scratched the surface. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Those verses read this way, "Prove all things." Would that include music? I think it would. "Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." And the all appearance really means every form of evil. So, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And of course, if there is something that is good, it has to have something by which we compare it that makes it good. Right? If I peel an orange, and we've got some nice big navel oranges, and I peel that orange and I get the peeling off and I break the thing up and I put it in my mouth and I take a bite and I say to Elaine, "Boy, this orange is really good." I've said that recently. Oh, why do I say, "Boy, this orange is really good"? Yeah, but do I have a point of reference? I've had a bad orange at some time or another, or I've had an orange that wasn't so good. Yeah. Because I have. I've peeled an orange before and taken a bite of it. Now, this orange is kind of flat. It doesn't taste very good, you know. Or you bite into an apple and you say, "Whoops, it's been off the tree too long. It's pethy," you know. Or you bite into an apple that's just nice and crisp and sweet and juicy and you say, "Whoa, man, this is the best apple I've ever eaten." And so there has to be, in order to call something good, you have to have something with which to compare it. And in the field of music, we're going to see that there are differences. And so this would suggest that we are to examine everything carefully and abstain from anything that has the appearance of evil. And I ask the question, is it appropriate or even necessary to refer to this verse in the discussion of music? You think? I think so. I think so. And something I want to share, and then I'm going to stop because I'm going to go over. I have gone over. Yeah. I'm going to stop. Next week, we're not going to read verses, but we're going to go more in detail. I'm going to give you some quotes and some statistics concerning music and some quotes even from secular people about styles of music, and I want you to stick with me.